Praise the Lord.
Amen. Lamentations, if you would.
Open your books to Bibles to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. I'm normally not a person who gets very emotional before I preach, but for some reason, every time I get up here, I don't know what it is, stress, or just the fact that it's a privilege to be here.
I love my church. I love my brethren. Like I mentioned on the 50th, I was saved right here. I knelt on my knees right here, and I got saved. God is good. This is not my text. That's not my verse. It is in Lamentations 3, but I want to just read something real quick. It says, verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." That is my testimony. The Lord is good. I don't deserve anything. Brother Billy was right. I don't know how I survived. The stories I heard about, I didn't think it was that bad. But I knew I was quite clumsy. I knew I was. I still am to a degree. My first son, when he was still in the womb, and I went to the first time to the OBGYN, it was a pretty small room, and I was by myself. I was in there with Magda, and I was standing up, and on the wall, there's like all these pictures of these ladies or whatever, and I had nowhere to sit, so I just kind of leaned over just to, and all the pictures went down, and my wife's like, "Whose stubborn husband is that?" So, I still am the clumsy one. I still am a klutz. But you know what is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed? It is of the Lord's mercy, and I just praise the Lord. My wife definitely would love to be here. She definitely loves you all and sends her greetings and her love and prayers. She definitely is not liking the idea that she had to stay back. Especially now that the car is broken down and she has nowhere to go and she's upset. You know, "How dare you? You left me alone again. This is not happening again, ever again." So either I go come by with her or I don't come at all. So if next year, if I don't come with her, you know what happened. Right, you come with her. So she said, "You better take me next time." So pray for me, please. Pray for me. So the greetings from our church in Alston, our brothers and sisters are doing well. They are holding down the fort. They are preaching. Magda said the Wednesday night service was a huge blessing. The brothers are just taking up the slack where we are not there and just doing a marvelous job sharing and just taking over. So I just praise the Lord that such a small church and so fresh, their brothers are already understanding our vision. And I have stepped up. So just praise the Lord for that. Continue to pray for them. Continue to pray for us, for wisdom as we try to lead and teach these men. And pray for our own converts, a lot of them. We're praying for 50 converts. Brother Brent remembers that we have prayed for 50 converts in Thorun, and that's getting up there. And we pray for 50 converts in Alston. So we pray, if you want to know what you pray for us in Alston, pray for 50 converts. We want to see people from Alston to get saved. All right. My text is actually in the same chapter, but verse 48. "Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughters of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not, without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Lord Jesus, we pray for your power, for your might. Lord, we pray that you would just bless this meeting, bless your word. May it have an effect unto our hearts, Lord. We pray that you would just lead it. We pray for the rest of this conference, Lord. Bless each and every speaker. Lord, that it just be a blessing. We pray that you work on our hearts, each and every one of us, to get a better relationship with you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So tonight I want to talk to you about our eyes, our hearts, and our mouths. Verse 51 is very powerful. It's a phrase that I read it the other day and it just hit me. Mine eye affecteth mine heart. What do we see? You know, our eyes is how we look at the world and we see the world. And what do we see when we look at the world? Jeremiah obviously saw something. He saw the destruction of the city. He said, my eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughters of my people. He saw the destruction and it just affected him. He was just crying for what he saw. And he was just, it really gave him, it just affected what he was thinking. Matthew 9, we could turn there real quick. Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36. We'll see, don't lose your place. We'll be right back here in Lamentations. But Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36 says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion. He saw the people, was moved with compassion.
Amen.
Are the people that we see on a daily basis affecting our hearts? Are we moved with compassion toward them as Jesus was? What do we see when we look out the windows of our cars as we drive by? Do we see a world needing a savior, or do we see people who frustrate and irritate us because they're in our way? Or do we see anything at all? Maybe we're so caught up in our own little worlds that we can't see past our own noses. Amen. To see what's happening in the world. Now, I'm not trying to preach and try to work on your heartstrings or try to give you a sob story. That's not my intention here. My intention is for us to consider our ways, as I was preaching the other day. Consider what we're doing, consider what we do, and consider what we see and how we are seeing the world. Are we seeing it in the right light? We're not trying to do that, but we're trying to just be moved by the fact that people are dying and going to hell every day. Have you been moved this week? Have you been touched by the Word of God? Has a testimony? I don't know about you, but when my Uncle Mike was up here telling the testimony of him at the hospital, that moved me.
Amen.
That touched me. There are people dying. People who are sick. People who are losing their loved ones. They have no hope. I praise God for my Uncle Mike and Susan that they're there. That they have a church, that they have an opportunity to help those people, to share the light, a little bit of hope. The best hope that ever could be, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But if we're not moved by the fact that people are dying and going to hell, what's wrong with us?
Amen.
I want to know, what is our heart made out of? If we're not moved by that, is it stone? I'll tell you something Ezekiel said. Ezekiel 36, I'll just read it. It says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh.
Amen.
Maybe we should pray that God would give us a transplant heart. Maybe we should pray, God, give us your heart for people.
Amen.
Let us see the people as you saw them, with compassion.
Amen.
And love. Maybe we should pray for the Lord to help us see the world the way He sees it. There's a song, an old song I remember hearing. If somebody has this recording, this on the computer, it says, Looking Through His Eyes is the song's title. It goes like this. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. I'm not going to make you cry. It says, Let me see this world, dear Lord, as though I were looking through your eyes. A world of men who don't want you, Lord, but a world for which you died. Let me kneel with you in the garden. Blur my eyes with tears of agony. For if once I could see this world the way you see,
yeah,
I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. Let me see this world, dear Lord, through your eyes when men mocked your holy name. When they beat you and spat upon you, Lord, help me love them as you love them just the same. Let me stand high above my petty problems and grieve for men hellbound eternally. For if once I could see this world the way you see, I just know I'd serve you more faithfully. It's a great song. Stands out, that part, right? Let me stand high above my petty problems.
Amen.
I wonder how many times we put ourselves in other people's shoes. And instead of, we just look upon our little problems, petty problems. Okay, the car broke down. Big whoop. Okay, it happens. There are people dying and going to hell. That's a big problem.
Amen.
Petty problems, we concentrate too much and focus on too much and not enough on what's really important in the world. That song, it reminded me, and then when I remembered that song, I remember, oh, I love that song. Now I know why I love that song. Because it really changes your perspective. Lord, let me see this world the way you see it. I want to see how you see it.
Amen.
We should pray that. We should look like that, look that way. There is a world out there beyond our fences that are lost and going to hell. They are seeking for something they don't know not what. But we have the answer. We have what they need. We have the answer of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the answer to every question. He is the hope. He is the light of every single question that is out there. These people need the Lord Jesus, and they need to know. And then we are it. We are it. God is not going to call rocks. He's not going to call angels. He chose us to preach the gospel. He chose us. Simple humans, sinful, who have issues and problems, but he chose us. Why? I don't know. He just did. And we have a choice. Either do it, look through this world the way he sees it, or say, Lord, it doesn't bother me. I hope after this conference, I hope we could see the world a little bit differently.
Amen.
Hope we can have some more compassion. Hope we can have some empathy. And think about what's really going on in people's lives. Maybe our preaching doesn't have an impact on people because we're indifferent to the people. Maybe we're just indifferent. Maybe just we don't care. If somebody gets saved or not, I don't care. I'm just gonna, whatever, I don't care. We don't care? Then why are you doing it? We should care! We should care so much, as Brother Jack said, we should be careful how we speak. We should be careful how we act. We should be careful what we say. We should care. Because if we don't care, who will? Who will care for them? If not you, and if not me. You know, as I look and as I use Jeremiah's idea of looking around, I look around and I see, my eye affects my heart because I see the prosperity of this world. It's destroying this world. They don't realize it, but they're so prosperous, as Mother Uncle Michael said, they don't need anything. You know, in Poland right now, more and more pickup trucks are showing up over there. He likes it. Good luck parking that sucker anywhere. Parking lots are made for little Polski Fiats, not for F-150s and Ford Raptors. I can believe you me. You're going to be smacking doors and trying to squishing through. You better get some, you know, lose weight before you buy one of those suckers. I'm not joking. There is no way you're going to fit that one of those in a Biedronka store or Lidl parking lot. Plus, they don't know how to park anyways. You know, prosperity makes people indifferent to the gospel. And we see that also in Poland. We see that it's just, you preach on the streets and people walk right past you.
Yeah.
Oh, they say, oh, some crazy man is, and they'll film it for a second. Ah, just some crazy man. and you walk on. You know, I kind of wish there was some reaction. I don't know, like, hey, shut up. We don't want to hear you anymore. All right, yeah, cool. Come on, I would like to talk to you. But they don't even want to talk. They just walk right by as if you're air, as if you're not even there, as if they could care less, or couldn't care less, excuse me. They couldn't care less. The prosperity. We're living in a time and in a part of the world that has unparalleled wealth. The wealth that we have today is incredible. But what does that mean for the masses who have no clue about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we doing our part to get the gospel out there to them, even though they are so rich, but yet so poor? Because the greatest gift, the greatest wealth anybody could ever have is eternal life.
Amen.
And they need to know that. What can you do? What can we do? Well, there are some things we can do. We can surrender. You can surrender yourself. Surrender yourself to the mission field is one. I did. 20 years ago, this mission conference.
Thank you, Lord.
20 years ago, I surrendered to the mission field. I've been now 20 years, and I can't believe it's been that long.
Amazing.
20 years. Next year will be my 20th anniversary with my wife. Wedding anniversary, 20 years. But I've been 20 years on the mission field. You can too. If this klutz can do it, you can too. If this person who had a complex and, you know, was always crying and always worried and always scared about everything can do it, you can too. There's nothing that is stopping us from doing what's important for our Lord and Savior.
Right.
Nothing. You can surrender to the mission field. You can surrender yourself to supporting a missionary.
Amen.
Prayer. Brother Brian, you're absolutely right. We covet your prayers daily. We battle with things. I heard that somebody said, we thought you were just superhuman. No, we are not superhuman. We are not. We are super sinful as everybody else. We are super weak and we have super problems as everybody else. And we need a lot of super prayers. Because we need them.
Amen.
You know, talking about giving or any when it comes to money or anything, I really don't like talking about that, but it is important. Because this church is the greatest giving church that I have ever known when it comes to supporting missionaries. The greatest. I mean, I don't think there's 100 churches around here who have, in 50 years, supported. I don't think there are 100 churches who, in the same lifespan, has supported and has given as much. 50 years of supporting missionaries and just being a testimony, that's incredible. That's the mercy of the Lord. Yeah, it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, right? That is of the Lord's mercies, definitely.
Amen.
So I want to just real quick, I want to point out a couple things, and just if you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Something I want to just point out. A blessing and a challenge. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to read from verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Some interesting things about this, three things that this church gave. First, I read in verse 5, they gave their own selves to the Lord. First gave their own selves to the Lord. That's a great step to take, isn't it? First step to take is give your own self to the Lord. All right, Lord, I am yours. Take me as I am, because that's all I have. And I am yours. Do with me as you please. Be ready, though. Be ready. He will. I said that one day. I said that, Lord, when I was about 14, 15 years old, Lord, I am yours. And he started working on my heart. He started working on me and started teaching me and showing me. And when I finally got up here to the States and started working, I realized, man, my heart is not here. I liked it here. I love the church. I love being here. Don't take me wrong, but I felt a compelling call over there. And I said, Lord, I gave myself. You know that. And I felt I need to go back. I need to be back over there with those people. You know, there are not very many people on the streets in Poland preaching the gospel.
That's right.
There are a whole lot of people preaching the gospel on these streets here. And praise the Lord for that. I thank God for the ministries and everything, but there are so few people over there standing on the streets and being a witness that they need someone. They need a voice. I said, all right, I'll be that voice. I'll be out there. I want to talk to people. I want to witness. I want to see souls getting saved over there. So I gave myself. That's a good step. First gave their own selves to the Lord. You know, not only that, but then they, in verse 3, in the first part of that, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power. Two things they did here. First of all, they gave to their power. They gave what they had. They gave what was in their power and beyond their power. I thought that was pretty interesting. To give beyond your power. To give beyond, you know what, Lord? I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can go there. I don't know if I can preach. I don't know if I can give someone a tract. I don't know if I can do that. But Lord, I'm going to trust you that is beyond my power. But Lord, I know that I need to do that. You never know. You never know what actually might come out of it. Now that requires faith, doesn't it? To give beyond your power.
Amen.
Requires faith. They gave beyond their power. That's a very interesting phrase. So how can we do that? We have to let our eyes affect our hearts, as Lamentations says. He says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And when that happens, magnificent things happen. When you start seeing people as people and you start worrying about them, you start praying for them, you start meeting with them, you start having Bible studies with them and finding out what are their needs and their stories, man, oh Lord, do a work in that brother's heart who's in there in Gdańsk who's having a hard time with the divorce situation. Oh, Lord, do a work with that brother, that man there who lost his son and now his daughter and is having problems. And you start worrying and, you know, you start thinking. Oh, and so you start doing something about it. That's incredible. We can let our eyes affect our hearts. We must get burdened for a lost and dying world. We must get burdened with it. We must do something about it, not just talk about it, not just think about it at the conference, and then after the conference ends, like, okay, go back to normal routines. And I'm talking to myself as much as to you, because we have the same exact problem when we start going back over there. We get excited, we get lifted up, and we get pumped up, and within a week, we fall right back into the routine. Am I just speaking of myself, or is that's the way it is?
Amen. Amen. Guilty. Yeah.
Amen.
Let's let our eyes affect our hearts.
Amen.
Let's let our eyes affect our hearts, and let's worry. Let's just think about it. He says, mine eye trickleth down and ceaseth not without any intermission. Till the Lord look down. He is so worried about what he sees. He's saying, Lord, I want to worry about them until you do something about it.
Amen.
The third thing I want to talk about is my eyes affect my heart because of passivity. I see in Christian churches. Like I said before, you do not understand how rare it is to see someone on the streets preaching in Poland. And if they do, there's usually just a Pentecostal church is incredible. The Pentecostal people and the
charismatics.
Thank you. The charismatics are the ones who do most of the evangelizing in Poland. Praise the Lord that they do something. It's incredible. But it's usually just one day or a 2 day thing, and then they're done for like 6 months or 7 months, and then they plan it because they have to do a big shindig, music and everything. That's fine. That's the way to do it. But what about the other times between there? How many other people have walked by that same spot hundreds of times who have no hope? Where's the voice then? So we have to be that voice. The passivity I see is just horrible. The church's responsibility is to preach the gospel to the lost. And I praise God for this church, that this church has a burden for soul winning. Has always had a burden for soul winning. And I believe, as long as I see the brethren here, I believe it will continue on for a good long time. Because this church wants to see souls getting saved. That's a good thing to do. That's how you build a church. That's how you get people, by getting out there and building. You don't get building church by just being and hope that someone will just pop in. That's not going to happen usually. It might happen once in a while, but not usually. Never in history has a responsibility of getting the gospel out to the masses have been more compelling and necessary than now. Now is the time. Now is the time, not tomorrow. Not tomorrow. There are people dying today. We sang a song today, 220,000 dying a day. We just sang that, didn't we? I don't know how, if that's actually true or not, if that's actually actual, but or if it's more. I don't know. But there's a lot of people dying daily. Every single day. If you could turn with me to Psalms 142:4. Psalms 142, verse 4. I was reading my Bible and came across this verse. I wonder how many people are in hell thinking this verse. It says, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Is your eyes affecting your heart? Are you looking at people? Are we overlooking people?
Amen.
Are we looking at them and noticing them? Or are we just passing by? People all over the world are missing out on knowing Jesus and experiencing a personal relationship with Him because Christians are not doing their job.
Amen.
Of preaching and telling the compelling, the most beautiful, the most amazing story, the greatest story ever, Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. If you are not saved today, I want to compel you to come to Him today.
Amen.
There's nothing better and giving your life to Him as your Lord and Savior. Nothing better. Praise God for all of your testimonies. I was talking to, I think, Brother Vinny today. We were playing pickleball. Those of you who knock on it, that's fine. You can knock all you want. I enjoy it. I don't have to run so far, David. I know. But anyways, we had a good time. And he was telling me his testimony out there. You know what a blessing to hear? That God works all over the place.
Amen.
Even New Yorkers get saved. Praise the Lord. I know we're better. We're Texans anyways. Jack, I know. But praise the Lord. I am just so thankful to hear what God does in people's hearts and people's lives. But too many of God's people are so focused on the wrong things, aren't we?
Yes, amen.
Aren't we focused on sports, fun, entertainment, and pastimes? And the lost looked to the right hand, and there was no one to go and love the lost. And will they say on the day of judgment, refuge failed me, no one cared for my soul? And you were right there. I was right there. Let's put it in perspective. All of us have done this. All of us are guilty of this. Every single one of us have just been so caught up in our daily lives that we see people come and we see people go and we don't worry, all right? We'll get the next one, maybe. People are rushing headlong into eternity without Christ, to a real place called hell. It is a real place, by the way. It does exist. And the most pressing concern most believers have is, what will we do with the extra money? I don't know. Let's go and have fun. Refuge failed me and no one cared for my soul. Are we caring? Are we looking? Are our eyes being affected by our hearts being affected by our eyes? Are we looking at this world through His eyes? That song is just beautiful. Let me see, Lord, this world through your eyes, and maybe I will serve you a little bit more faithfully. If I could just see this world. And we've talked about the eyes affecting the heart. What can we do about it? Our mouth should speak the truth. We should just take that and just do something about it. We need to take action. 1 Corinthians 9:16. If you could, turn with me. 1 Corinthians 9:16. It's a very important verse. It says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Necessity. It's a necessity. Paul looked at preaching the gospel as a necessity. Not as a want. It was a necessity. Because he says, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now we have two choices. Either share the gospel in a foreign field or share the gospel where we are.
Amen.
It's just that simple. Just share the gospel. God, if you are saved, if you are a true believer, if you are a child of God, if you've given your heart to the Lord, I want to encourage you, share the gospel to someone. To share the gospel each and every moment that you have. Try at least. Do the best of your ability. Use every open door that God has given you to the best of your ability. I'm not saying it's always going to work out. I'm not saying they're always going to listen. They may not. But at least you give it your best shot.
Amen.
And we need to give it our best shot. We need to get out there because souls are dying and going to hell. And we have the truth. We have the answer. We need to let them know, I have it. Not that I'm proudful. Not that I'm better than you. I am not. But I was in your place once. I was right there where you were one day. I had no hope and someone shared the gospel
Amen.
With me.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Remember that. Someone came to me. Someone looked in my eyes. Someone took the initiative. And although we may have looked scary, we may have been angry or frustrated, or I don't know what condition we were in, they still told us.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord Jesus saved our souls.
Amen.
And we are here today because someone shared the gospel with us.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, how much I would love to see this church quadruple each and every year. Because each of us has done our part to do what we need to do, wherever that is. Could be here, could be over there. I welcome anyone who wants to come over to Poland and help us. I welcome it. I pray for it, actually. Every mission conference, Lord, raise someone. As you know, I've been on the mission for 20 years, but there are people who are older than me, who have been there much longer. Mainly my dad and mom. I don't know how much more they have, how much more they want to move. They've moved quite a bit. I've moved quite a bit, but they moved a whole lot more. There will come a time where I will be in a situation as Corey was, last year, and I will be compelling you, please, someone, come and help me. Because I'm going to need someone. And I don't know how long that's going to be. I don't know when that's going to be. I want you to start thinking about it now. Let the word of God work in your heart. Maybe as Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Maybe those videos, some of those slideshows, maybe those are a little bit of a compelling moment for us to think about. Maybe the Lord is calling me to do something for Him. Something to consider, is God calling you to preach the gospel in a foreign field? I hope so. And maybe not. God does not call everyone. He calls, and there are people who answer, and praise the Lord, there were missionaries, and how many missions came out of this church? I don't think we were, do we know exactly how many missionaries came out of this church?
A lot.
Like I thought. Hard to count them. Maybe another thing to consider is God calling you to be more of a witness where you are to preach the gospel. And the third question, and the third thing to consider is God calling you to take part in supporting missionaries and the mission, because we need your prayers and your support. We covet them. We love you all, and I want to thank you all for all of you've done. This has been a marvelous time. The Lord has been working in my heart, and I'm thankful and very grateful for everything. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Josh.
Our prayer is that you have the great success in the gospel over there in Olsten.